Father, we worship you, glorify you. All things are possible to them that believe. We receive your life. We have the authority. We glorify you. We're going to minister for a few moments. Hallelujah. Marcia, it's so good to see you up on stage. So good, but you've been fighting that for a while. And that's, Marcia broke her ankle, or is it foot?
Foot.
Several months ago.
Yeah.
Now,
January 29th.
In January, the end of January. Mm-hmm. And it was supposed to have already been healed by now. Really, kind of. It's been a prolonged fight. Gay, I would want you to come up with Candy. And Barbara, you can join her. I want you to lay your hands on there, on her leg. I'm going to ask all of you that are watching tonight, the healing power of God is coming into your home. And as we minister healing here, if you believe God and you have something that you're standing for or someone that you're standing for, I want you to believe for us in the next however long the Holy Spirit carries this out. There's no fanfare here. There's just the demonstration of the power of God. We stretch forth in the name of Jesus. What we declare comes to pass. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command that foot, that ankle, totally restored in the name of Jesus. From this night forward, a miraculous virtue, the fullness of everything that God is to us, in us, and through us, I command in Jesus' name, by His stripes, you were healed. Be raised up in fullness. No more swelling, no more pain. In the name of Jesus, bone to bone, perfect connection to where there's never even, that can never even be seen where it was broken. In Jesus' name. Perfect in the name of Jesus. We deliver perfect in the name of Jesus. We release that life and grace now in the name of Jesus. Be made whole. Be made whole. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. We worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to greet each other. When you have, because all of this went out, and everyone in here, the Holy Spirit touched. He did. It's just an absolute. If you had hands laid on you and you came, you received something from God. In the break, tell someone or come and tell me. Maybe if you don't want me to say, well, I'd have to say somebody received. I mean, we're going to give God the glory. But I'm telling you, if something changed and you know, even if it's the slightest, and you want to give God the glory, let us know. Hallelujah. Because that's how immediate all this is taking place. It's a now. It's taking place now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's all stand and give each other a great big hug. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. And we love you that are watching. Bless your hearts. Amen. We just worship you, Jesus. Blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be the Lamb. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I will remind you. I will say something about it now, and then I'll remind you at the end of the service. If you have something to bless the Lord with concerning giving, please avail yourself at the end of the service. There's offering baskets or receptacles here. And those of you that are watching, we appreciate all your giving. It means a lot to have you to be sensitive to the Lord, and those that are seated here tonight on a continual basis. Hallelujah. I just want to take just a moment, because when God does something, we should give Him glory. Amen? So let's hear from just a couple of people. The lady that was prayed for first, she was telling me during break, or I overheard her, Marcia, tell us, wow, she didn't have a problem getting up.
No.
That's pretty good.
When I came tonight and all day today and yesterday, I was having so much pain in my foot, and I've just been declaring I'm healed, and it's going to be as if I never had any broken bones.
Yeah.
One day, it's just going to be that way. I don't care, so I claim I have it now, but all the pain's left when they prayed, so I don't have any more pain in my foot.
Praise God. Hallelujah. So the pain actually left when we prayed, when the ladies, hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. How many of you believe that Marcia is a good lady? Awesome. How many of you believe that Marcia would not lie? Did the pain, do you believe that the pain left when we prayed? Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I'm just going to put, he might not want to stand and say any much, but David, this is Yolanda's husband, and he said that he came up to stand behind his wife and tell us.
I caught the overflow.
You caught the overflow. He said that he was standing behind her, and whatever went out to her, he got the rest of it. He got the overflow. That's power. Hallelujah. Anybody else? You got a touch. All right. I know you did. You're just a little bashful. Hallelujah. And those out there, write us, give us an email. We're going to see things in the days ahead like we've never seen before, because the time is now. Hallelujah. And we expect it present tense. We're not putting it in a drop box in front of us, and we're not saying when revival gets here. It's here. Hallelujah. The dispensation of the glory of the Lord has come, and we've got all the authority to exercise it. Amen. Hallelujah. We worship you, Father. Thank you. We receive your life, your grace, present tense, and all that you're doing in us and through us by your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Well, we've got a couple of our guys up here. You guys are really going to have to be, you know, demonstrative tonight. Well, we got some in the back. I mean, let's hear an echo from the back. Hallelujah. If you don't like what we're saying, just say, oh, me, or my goodness, or at least make some sound. Hallelujah. Glory. How many are thankful? I know you are. I am. I thank you, Jesus, with all sincerity, for the ability in Christ to just deliberately step into and experience what we just experienced a few moments ago. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't have to pray that down. That's here. Hallelujah. What we need to get used to, and I think one of the things that's it's hard for all of us at times, because there is a presence that causes his it's the presence of his glory that causes things to be so much more conducive for us to step into that. But we really need to be in a place where that whether we feel him or don't feel him, we can administer the healing power of God. This works at the grocery store. It works at the Walmart. It works at mundane situations. It's just, you know that there's a need, and you know that by that still inner voice, it's time for you to step out. Do you feel any presence? Maybe or maybe not. But that does not depict whether or not he will show up. His word is faithful. Yeah. Hallelujah. And I think that's one of the wonderful things about where revival is at. And getting back to this, the word, is that we pray whether we feel like it or not. I'm talking about ministry prayer and minister the power of God. He wants to share with you tonight, unless halfway through or at any point he starts doing anything else. We're gonna speak on war, casualties, pitfalls. That's kind of the message title, and war, casualties, and pitfalls. And we're going to share some tonight. I don't know how far we'll get. We'll probably go into it next week as well. But this will be lesson one. They'll be part of it. Hallelujah. Again, I pray, you pray for me. Father, I bless you, glorify you, and magnify you. Thank you, Lord, for your great grace. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your power over us and in us and through us, and your word that is working so strong, so strong. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to say some things that you may already know, but we're bringing it out for a purpose of where we're going and those that are listening. Once you come into Christ and once you're here in going forward in Him, especially for us that I would call revivalists or those that are believing for a restoration of the fullness of the kingdom of God to be made manifest, there's a war. And there's always a war. That war always exists. Understanding that it always exists begins to prepare you for continual success. If you understand, see, a lot of people, even though they're in a war in multiple different fronts at times, they never ever really realize that they're in a war, and they think that it's a lot of different things around them and circumstances, and it's just natural things that are taking place. Once you step into this, and I say this is a sincere desire that all of us corporately share together, and many people that are watching tonight, to go into Christ. The body of Christ is in a warfare. Now, there's another part of the body of Christ that I sincerely love, that I would at this point in time, not that I'm trying to be a cookie cutter like classification, but there's a big part of the body of Christ that is in the five foolish virgin category. And they are Matthew chapter 25. They're the ones that are without knowledge, are quickly allowing what they have once had, the oil that was in their lamps, to be extinguished. And eventually, if the oil is extinguished, the fire will go out. And they are in a war, but it's a different type of war. It's a war that is that they don't know that they're in. And it's a war that is bringing them under the power and the dominion of the flesh. And see, one of the greatest things about waking up, Ephesians, where that we awake to righteousness, is that you understand, you come out of the fog, and you understand that you're in a war. A lot of people in the body of Christ think that if you acknowledge the war, that it somehow creates the war. You're acknowledging your blindness, or saying we don't want to talk about Satan, we don't want to talk about the world, we don't want to talk about the flesh. Let's stay very positive. Listen, it's a very positive position to understand the war and your authority to exercise over the war. But at any point in time, just because you acknowledge that Satan is fighting you doesn't create the fight. Anytime that you understand that you're under some kind of bombardment, in other words, if you just don't acknowledge it, that doesn't make it go away. Dominion comes through, or peace comes through dominion. In other words, it's the same thing, it's the same thing in the spirit that as it is in the natural. The natural did not dictate the spiritual, but the spiritual dictates the natural. It's just like this. In the world, there is only peace with dictatorships and crazy crazy regimes worldwide that would only extinguish humanity. There's only peace with them through power. You can't negotiate with crazy regimes and weaken your place and expect there to be peace. The world is always, from history, and I love history, I'm kind of a history buff. You'll read that the only way the world's ever had peace is when it's never had full peace, but anytime that there's ever been times where nations have had peace, it's where there has been those that have ruled in righteousness and power and demonstrated that to the rest of the world. You understand that? At the same time, I only bring that up to say this, is that Satan does not, he doesn't understand anything but the dominion that you can exercise through the authority of the power of the Word of God in your life. Amen? So it's very important to understand. To the wise and to the prudent, that's us. Everybody say, that's me. To the wise and prudent, understanding that there is a war, it doesn't make you more vulnerable. It guarantees your continual and constant success and prosperity. I didn't have this originally in my notes, but I want you to turn with me to Psalms chapter 1, because I think that's a beautiful psalm, and it kind of demonstrates what I want to say from the very beginning. Look at what David said here in Psalms chapter 1. He said, blessed is the man. I'll give you a second to turn there because I want you to see it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Hallelujah. So there we understand that there is a blessing for staying in the Word of God and keeping it in front of you day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, I'll read the rest of this in just a moment, but really the key part of what I wanted you to see here, or what I wanted to mention, was this, that he shall be like a tree, like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. The word season here, really, when we think of seasons, we think of the seasons of the earth. We think of spring and summer and fall and winter. And so that's our thought. But the word season here doesn't necessarily mean that. Actually, in its root base, it means perpetual. It means a place of perpetuality. That is how you can define this word here. And so what it's saying is there may be seasons of life, but as far as what you'll be doing in those seasons of life and how God will be graduating you or dealing with you in those seasons of life. But the beautiful part is he will bring forth his fruit in his season. What it's actually saying here is that there is a perpetuation or a continual. If you look it up in the Hebrew, it says perpetual. The base of it is perpetual, continual. So it's telling us here that God's will for our life, if we stay in his word, if we stay in his presence, and we continue to trust in him, is a place of perpetual productivity, a place of perpetual blessing, a place. Listen, here's the deal. Especially we need to underscore this when we talk about the war, because I'm sitting here, or I'm standing here, you're sitting there, I'm talking to some seasoned vets that have walked through a lot of wars with us for the last 20 years. I may be talking to some seasoned vets out there, and I'm not talking about serving in our military, our natural military, but I'm talking about you've been around and you've lasted through some severe physical battles, some relationship battles, some spiritual battles, a whole lot of different things. But one of the things that we have to understand is that going in or out of a battle or a war, how did Pastor Dave, I don't know how many of you ever heard this, if you were around back then when he was speaking a lot here or sharing, he would also always say this: you're always in one of three different states in your life, status, as far as the fight goes. You're either going into a battle, in the middle of one, or coming out of one. So don't feel alone. One of the things that I wish I could do, but I should never do, and I will never do, is, because it would just be so inappropriate, and you trust me, and I trust you, and it's just not right. If we ever knew who was sitting across the aisle and who was sitting two seats back, well, you don't have to worry because yours is not filled up too much. Some of the battles that people go through, and it's so different with everyone. And a lot of times we sit, and yours is really important. It really is to God. It's really important to me. But there are, in a church, I have one of the most wonderful privileges in life. I get a chance to share, and I get a chance to believe God with people, and I get a chance to say, you know, I know nothing of myself, but here's what I know according to the Word of God. But one of the things I've found out that through the years is that there may be a half a dozen or a dozen, even in a small church like this, very serious wars going on, whether it's in the people's bodies, their marriages, their finances, or it could be myriad, or as the word said, different types of battles. But as Pastor Dave used to say, it's either going in, middle, or coming out. Okay, but what does that mean according to Psalms chapter 1 that we just read? And I think we read through 4, and maybe we'll read the rest of it in a moment. But what it means is this: it is never, everybody say never. Never. It is never, ever, everybody say never, ever. It is never, ever God's mind for you to be in a season of lack, a season of pain, a season of dryness. I've been in Christian bookstores before in different places, and it looks really teary. It's one of those things that will strike a teary-eyed emotion in everyone, and I've heard many preachers preach on it. And they'll teach on the four seasons. They'll teach on, you may be in a summer, or you may be in a summer where there's productivity, you know, there's a harvest, but you will walk through, and they almost blame, and many times they do blatantly, it's like God is going to take you to a winter, things are going to dry up to teach you a lesson. Listen, Satan's the one. The only thing that the trial will do, it wants to teach you a lesson. It wants to school you that God's not good. His word doesn't work. He wants you in pain. He's got some inevitable reason to keep you where you're at. And that this season of dryness, wintry season, will teach you some character. No trial teaches you character. It's the word of God exercised against. It's you taking the word. It's like a bench presser or an exerciser. It's not the weight itself. It's your exertion against the weights that causes strength. It's the word in you pushing against the trial that builds the character. It's not the trial itself. The trial will kill you. Cancer is a trial. It'll kill you. It's not sent for your good. Depression's not sent for your good. There are no wintry seasons in God. It's all perpetual blessing. It's all perpetual goodness. It's all, now there's training, there's times of training, but you've got to understand that in the war, there's always a war. Now, we understand this, and I hope, I hope that your life is not in such a fight all the time that you don't enjoy. There are times, no matter who you are, that you will come to reprieves. In other words, it seems like, whew, you know, life's not never perfect until you get to heaven. But it's like, whew, you know, instead of 50 things going on, now there's only 20 things going on. Hallelujah. And sometimes that's a reprieve. You know, sometimes that's a vacation, you know, like hallelujah. You know, instead of there are 50 trials, there's only 20 trials. So hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo, I'm getting a witness now. I'm getting a witness. Glory. We got the wave going on in here. We got the wave. But understand this, even in the reprieve, the war still exists. It's not that, and I've often thought about this, even when I'm like feeling such peace, things seem to be quiet around me, I realize that it's not that Satan has lost my address. I wish he would. I wish he would say, you know, we drop, you know, you devils, we drop the file on where this guy lives. We can't find him. And, you know, it's just been deleted. We don't know where he's at. I wish that was the case. But it's not that he's lost our address. It's not that the flesh, because if you're living in this body, listen, if we got rid of the devil somehow and could still until we get there, we're still living in a body. And the flesh is still going to fight us. And the world still, so even in reprieves, we have to understand, because a lot of times you will come to places of reprieves where it'll so lessen, and it'll kind of get placid, and you think, wow, what is this all about? What that is the fruit of dominion. It's the fruit of dominion. Now there is, on that other side of the church, and again, I'm not condemning them, to those that are living in the with one foot in the world and one foot in Christ, there's a peace. Alan Taylor talks about it. It's a false peace. It's a false peace. They think that they're, and Satan can give a false peace. He can mimic the Holy Spirit, and you can have one foot in the world and one foot in Christ and feel like, oh man, this peace that I feel is a verification of my life. It verifies that everything's okay with Christ. It's just that this, he's not attacking you to fool you to believe that you're okay. But when he sets you up, the guys in the world that's ever fought, if you can set somebody up, if you're really going to take them out, you wait till they turn their head, and then you sucker punch them. And if they turn their head and you can catch their jaw just right, you can just knock out the biggest man that ever walked. A woman can. Anybody can if you can hit them just right. Satan is setting people up, millions of them, to sucker punch them, and they think they're okay. They really think they're okay. But then there's a church within a church that says, I know that my reprieves are coming through dominion. They're coming through dominion. And listen, here's the other thing too, is even when there's 47 different things going on, as they said, 40-11, is there such a thing? 40 different things going on. Even when there's fights all around you, that does not mean that your dominion has diminished. It just means that you're in a war. Keep going forward. You'll come out of it. You'll come out of it. You really will. Hallelujah. Are you getting anything? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Fighting the war on multiple fronts. We didn't finish Psalms 1, but that's okay. You got the message. It's a perpetual place. There is no dryness. He never promised dryness. He promised perpetuality, continual bearing fruit. Fighting the war on multiple fronts is not a sign, as I just said, of weakness or less dominion. Our spiritual posture is this. I'll just read this because we'll go to another, some more scriptures here in just a moment. You know that we use these verses of scripture quite a bit several weeks ago or month or so ago when we were really talking about this, and we have used it several times since. It's Matthew 16:18. You can just write it down or just listen. And it says this, I say unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Remember how we talked about, remember what we said that Gary said when the Lord broke this for him? I loved it. The Lord said, when have you ever been attacked by a gate? And so what he was getting across to him, and it made sense to him after he thought and pondered and passed it along to all of us, and we understand this, that what the Lord was saying is this: the gates are a defense to hold in what they illegally believe is theirs. Here's our posture. Here's our spiritual posture. We're not an army of, we're not an occupational army. We're not a NATO. We're not a peacekeeper, as it just, we're just kind of trying to hold the line and just keep every, we are a, our posture is invasion. We're invading Immokalee. We're invading the kingdom of darkness. And the kingdom of darkness is upset. It's angry, but it's also afraid. And the devil doesn't want you to know that he's afraid. The devils of hell do not want you to know that they're not afraid of you, but they are afraid of the Word of God in you. And they are afraid of the Christ in you, the hope of glory. So our posture is a leaning forward posture. We're not in foxholes. We're not trying to cover up. Too much of the church has, you've heard me say this before, too much of the church has a coddled mentality. Now, I'm not talking about coddled. I'm not using that as in not loving people or being compassionate. We, all of us, especially that have found the love of God, should put our arms around people and help them walk through their different trials and tests of life. That's one thing. And we give them the Word of God. And we help them stand on the Word of God. And we continue. But the church at large has been coddled. And the word coddled means excessive pampering. In other words, coddled preachers produce coddled churches that produce coddled members who do not understand that their position is a position of dominion over sin, over sickness, over disease, over all these things. And rather than teaching them the power of God over sin, then much of the church has helped solidify, much of the pastoralship has helped solidify a way to excuse sin. Say, well, nobody's perfect. You're not going to ever, nobody's ever perfect. Listen, I know nobody's ever perfect like as in the sense that we're all following Christ. But you're not supposed to be 2 or 3, 4 or 5. I don't even want to put a time limit on it. You're not supposed to be well into Christ and still be fighting battles with really adultery, fornication, pornography. Now, for God's sake, don't quit if you are. Come back to the blood. But I'm telling you to be coddled and to say, it's okay. You're in a progression of growth. That all was broken off at the cross. The moment that you surrender to the cross. And we're going to talk Sunday. Sunday, I think, start another series. And it's going to be really, really, really good. It's going to be called, and I'm going to show you from the Word of God. It actually says in the Word of God that we are to become His show-offs. And we're going to talk about being His show-offs in the earth. Hallelujah. How many of you want, well, I don't know if you haven't heard it yet, but how many of you want to be a show-off? Hallelujah. Your mom and dad used to say, don't be a show-off. God wants you to be a show-off. Hallelujah. So hallelujah. That's up-and-coming advertisement for Sunday. Be here. Be here. Hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail. Our spiritual posture is going forward. The war, listen, the war is fought on three fronts. The war that we're engaged in, that it doesn't matter how stormy it gets, we're still going to be in a perpetual season of life and peace and growth. Is that right? Amen? Okay, so it doesn't matter what comes or goes. We have promises, and we're not even able to begin to touch all the promises that we're strong, stable. In fact, there's grace. Some of the hardest times of my life and some of the busiest times of my life, I have felt the most peace where I've been trying to get the most done. I felt the most peace if you live in that place. Hallelujah. Now, the war is fought on three fronts. Three fronts. These three fronts is where the war is fought. And I'm going to show you from the Word of God. And of course, I'm not trying to finish anything tonight. We're kind of in a series mode here for the next 2 or 3 weeks. The war that you and I are in are fought on three fronts. One, it's the flesh, the world, and the devil. Those three fronts. And it's really all one war, but you can divide it up into three parts. The flesh, the world, and the devil. Now let's just talk about the flesh for just a moment. Turn with me to Galatians 5. Okay? And we'll just read a few verses there, just talking about the flesh. And we're, as I said, the title is War, Casualties, and Pitfalls, but we're just going to move kind of laterally here and not try to go in sequential order in any way. We're going to come in and out of all of these particular subjects as we go forward in this particular series. Let's look at the flesh for just a moment. Galatians 5:16 says this, "This I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit," and that's your born-again spirit. That's who you are, as in your spiritual DNA. "And the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other." Does that sound like a war? Yeah. That sounds like a war to me. One's lusting against the other, and they're fighting, they're contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, it could prevent you if it could exercise the full authority over you. But if you be led of the Spirit, and that's the same teaching and the same understanding that we get out of Romans 8, when he talks about that being led by the Spirit, that we are free from the dominion of sin. You're not under the law. So as we've read this right here, these particular verses, we understand this. There's a war that's always launched in our flesh. And the flesh is always at war against the Spirit. Okay? Not the Holy Spirit. Our human spirit. Our spiritual DNA. And so, even say, well, I don't feel the war. Praise God. If you live in a dominion over it on a daily basis, you may not feel it so much at times, but believe me, it's still there. Because I love, you know, it's a good way to say it. I can't say it as good as he. If you've heard any of his messages in the last few years, you'll understand when Gary says this, he says, the flesh, now we're not talking about the world living in flesh, the human flesh of the born-again believer left to itself, just left to itself. In other words, you won't train it up like a child, like Proverbs talks about. You won't take dominion over it. You just let it go. If you just let it go, the flesh just thinks adultery's great. The flesh thinks gluttony's great. The flesh thinks drinking's great. Your flesh has not changed. Now, God can come and live and be glorified through your flesh, but that only takes place as you exercise dominion over it. Your flesh will never be sanctified, as in the sense of like it can be sanctified under the umbrella of dominion, but it's like it'll never be self-sanctified, like you leave it alone and it's good to go forever. Now, your spirit is sanctified in Christ. Hallelujah. But your flesh, there's a war there, and you may not recognize the war. You say, man, I mean, thank God, I'm not in that state. And if you're walking in a place where you're taking dominion, you're resting. You should be in a place of resting. If something comes, then you deal with it. And if you deal with it quickly, then you just keep living in that resting place. But don't test this. Don't try it. But stop praying. Stop reading the Word. And the power of your nature, the new nature, is enough. But if you don't think that the weight of the flesh won't grow and grow, don't try this, but go six, but theoretically, think of it like this. Go 6 months without prayer. Go 6 months without reading the Word. Don't come to church for 6 months. And don't watch it on YouTube or anything. Just kind of, you may not get back into the kingdom. I'm not saying you left, but you may not, I mean, you may get gone and stay gone, okay? So there is a war that's always there. It's whether or not you're taking dominion over it. Hallelujah. Though, let's talk about the world for just a moment. 1 John 2:15, turn there with me. Now we're kind of, there's so much more to say on all these subjects, and maybe we will as time goes on in the next few weeks. But I just wanted to kind of skip over them and touch them just for a moment. As I said, there's three fronts to this war: the flesh, the world, and the devil. 1 John 2:15, John says this: love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now somebody says, what might say, well, isn't the world Satan? Yes and no. He is the epitome of evil. He is the beginning of evil. Until when he fail, darkness, he is the beginning of darkness. So even over your flesh, Satan's not living in your flesh, but he is the cause of the original fall, and your flesh was perpetuated by your mom and dad. Jesus stepped into your spirit and said, I'm going to born again your spirit. I really can't do anything for your flesh except say that through the Spirit you can have dominion over your flesh and you can live a peaceful life, and my glory will flow through your flesh as your flesh is in and under this dominion of the Spirit. But the world is the systems of Satan. It's the monetary systems. It's the sexual systems. It's the eye gate. It's the lust of the flesh. You can't thank God that we live in the wisdom that is coming through the Word of God to us now that are hearing this message, and you men and women are hearing, and you out there are hearing that you can take dominion over your senses, because we can't live like this, like see no evil, hear no evil. You would have to get weird and go someplace, get on a farm somewhere, and absolutely go against the commission. The commission is go into the streets, go into the highways, go there where those naked girls are at. I mean, I'm not talking about, but that's the way they dress. That's the way they act. Go into those drug-infested places. Get your hands dirty, not your heart, but rub up against the flesh of this world and pull them over into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what Rex and Marcia do. They're, you know, we won't name the names of all the different clubs that they minister to on a monthly basis, but I'm telling you, they're going into the pit of hell sometimes. And you can't be like, I don't want to see no evil. I don't want. That's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. You're cut out for stronger than that. I'd like to go in there. You know, Rex goes in there with his wife. Of course, she's helping him out. But, you know, the sights and sounds and what is, you know, the way that people are dressing, the way that people are acting and whatever, if you're like, I don't want to look at that because that's gonna put an image inside of me that I can't deal with, then I'm telling you, something needs to change in you. You got to grow up. You got to grow up. We can't go live on a farm. We can't go live in a monastery. We've got to get out there among them, but also know that we're walking in dominion over our flesh, and we're walking in such a way that we take control over it. Because if you're a living human being, a woman or a man, you're going to have thoughts at times where you just say internally, you don't have to stop and put on a show, you just say internally, no. In Jesus' name, no. It's not going to take root. It's just not going to go. I mean, it's going to go in Jesus' name. The world system is out there. And it's out there so strong that even when you're trying to do right, there's junk. There's junk, and there's all kind of junk that comes to our church website. I got to watch when I'm trying to look, and before I open it up, look on the title portion of it to see what they're even saying, because a lot of times there's absolute blatant porno that comes to the church. In other words, you cannot escape, and you cannot escape. Listen, if Jesus was alive today, he would use every avenue. We're not going to go into someplace, let's get away from the websites, let's get away from the... Listen, Paul and Jesus would go full bore into every media that they possibly could. And it's going to show up, and sometimes it's going to be right in front of you. You're going to turn it off, you're going to go away, you're going to say, I'm just going to keep going forward. That's the world system. We're living in the world. It's all around us. Before you get home, listen, don't get in a tither over being in the world. Exercise dominion over the world. Exercise dominion over your thoughts. Hallelujah. Sometimes when people are going through their own self battle, they put rules and regulations in front of others because of what they're going through. Do you understand? The world system is there. It will always be there. We don't engage in the world, but we witness to the world. Hallelujah. And we're going to have the smell of smoke on us. We're going to have poo-poo on us from this world. Go wash it off. Just how do you wash it off? Stay in prayer. It'll bathe your mind. It'll bathe your soul. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. The devil that you cast out can't come on you. Okay? When I was a kid in church, they used to scare the something out of us. There was like, you know, it was almost like, if y'all don't pay attention, if y'all don't, you better keep your mind on Christ. This thing could get on you too. We need to understand that we have the authority, we have the power to go into insane asylums, cast those things out with people eating their own dung, and walk out of there seeing them set free. We're stronger than what we've been acting like for many years. We're stronger. Hallelujah. It can't get on us. Well, I have imperfections in my life. Come on, wait a minute. What are you talking about? Paul was growing. Peter was growing. Peter had prejudice that the Lord finally got him delivered from, and yet his shadow was casting out devils. Hallelujah. Paul and Barnabas, they didn't throw no punches, but the Bible says the contention among them was so strong that they divided ways, and yet the Word was working in their life. Hallelujah. Now, thank God we're not going to, we had never have, where we've hit the parking lot, and I've said, you get out of here and never come back. And you said, fine, squealed off. Thank you, Jesus. Never, Lord, never. But Paul and Barnabas, They had a little run-in. And yet, God kept using them. I'm sure they went away, got under the blood, tried to write each other letters. They couldn't call each other. Hallelujah. I'm just saying, we got to get tough. Hallelujah. Jesus said this, though, in John 16:33. You got to finish this up because it's good. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you should have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Everybody say this. I have, through Christ, overcome the world. Now, the other front that you're going to find is just blatant attacks from the devil himself. Let's go to an old familiar portion of Scripture. That's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 says this. Paul said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Now, that's not a contradiction of what I just said. He's not talking about your flesh there as being a part and partisan to your warfare. He's talking about we're not fighting a flesh and blood army. That's what he's talking about in that context. Okay? So you are fighting your flesh, but you're not fighting a flesh and blood army. That's what Paul was trying to say. But he does name the army that you're fighting. For we wrestle, he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, and then he names these categories. And there's other mentions in other scriptures. There's mights and dominions. And I'm not going to teach, I'm not even going to try to teach on demonology. But there's different, as you read the New Testament, you find that time and time again, there's different classifications for demonic powers. There's principalities here, it says, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And so it goes on to list the things that will combat those and put them in a place of dominion. And we're not going to teach on all that tonight. We've taught on that before, and we'll teach on it again. But here specifically, it is telling us, Paul is telling us, that there is a direct launching. And there's just the flesh to begin with. There's that front. The enemy is not dwelling in your flesh, but he can come and he can try to solicit your flesh as far as to generate emotions and those kinds of things. There's the world. The world's kind of like an inertia. He's just got it going. They're all going to hell without us. And what they create is a war against us. All that visual, all that hearing, all that anger, and all that blasphemy. It's part of the gate of hell. It's not, we're marching against it, and it's saying, Satan, this is his war machine that we just read about, also the world. Now here, the classifications, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places, these things have been set into effect, and they are set into effect to come at the church, and especially if you are a ruling elder in this house, or you're an up-and-coming elder, and I'm looking around, and there's some that are not here tonight. Thank God that I appreciate you let us know. There's no law, but as far as you've got to communicate. But we've said it's really nice when you communicate and you can't be here. So we're finding out that the mature people are just communicating and saying, "Hey, I'm not there. I'll be watching. I had to work late, or I had this, or I had that." Thank God. And all of our family out there that are in other states and in other nations, you're watching us. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. We've taught on these categories before, but it's Satan's war machine to directly come against you. It is the behind the scenes work of Mark chapter 4, and we're not necessarily going to go there, but in Mark chapter 4, Jesus said this, that when the word is sown, that Satan comes immediately to take the word from them. Now, Satan coming immediately broke down in Mark chapter 4 to afflictions, persecutions, lust of other things. There was many different ways, but what he said was, the one that's going to do this immediately and carry out all these other ways that he does it is Satan. Well, we know this. It's not him per se, but it's his war machine. How many of them is? The word doesn't say. There could be billions, okay? And they're all in different classifications. But they have an assignment, obviously, to try to stop the invasions of light. There has to be a principality over this region, and they have to know that we exist, and they have to know that we are teaching to the best of our ability the unadulterated Word of God. Many of them know your names, they know your addresses, they know that you're part and partisan to a church and to a movement that is saying, God, give us the fullness of the kingdom of God. Their onslaught is to bring all of Mark 4 of the afflictions, the persecutions, the lust of other things. All these things are, they have a script. Some of these things are low-end takeouts. We're going to talk about that just for a moment because we got a few more moments. And some of them are what we'll talk about next week, are high-end or high-tech. It doesn't matter to Satan how he gets you to stop. All he wants to do is to get you to stop. Really, just the fleshly things that should have been taken care of from the very beginning. He's taken a lot of people out by that. He's taken a lot of people. Please, all of you that are watching, I know you think this is a perfect church. And it is. We have some wonderful, we have perfect people here, perfect in Christ. But I know you're not going to believe this. In 25 years, I've seen a lot of people come and go. And I've seen a lot of people that were on fire come and go. And their flesh eventually took them out. 2 Corinthians, Paul says this. He says, I keep my flesh, my body. He said it in that. I keep my body under subjection to me, lest having taught others and preached to others, is the way he's put it, I myself should become a castaway. So Paul always had it in front of him that the flesh never goes away. I have got to continually keep under. That word keep under means to buffet. In other words, love your body, keep, you know, wash it, hallelujah, feed it, pamper it, be good to it. But the flesh, which is your body and soul combined, apart from the renewing of the mind of Christ, don't ever trust it. It'll kiss you and say, I'm your friend. Don't pray for a week. I'm your friend. I'll be good. You can trust me. Vacation for a couple weeks. And no, I'm not saying it's wrong to take a vacation, okay? I'm saying don't take a vacation for a while from the Word, okay? You can trust me. It will kill you. Okay. Hallelujah. So the enemy is the original source of evil, okay? Satan cometh immediately to take the word. We ought to really have, I wish we could, maybe we will. The best that we're doing now is that I'm teaching, and here's we have to trust the Holy Spirit. Pretty much at this point, there's just us. So you're seasoned. There's going to come a season where we're going to have a lot of new sprouts. Hallelujah. That's why you're getting strong. So you can take the new sprouts, speak the same thing to them that we're speaking here. You can meet with them, talk with them. But when you have all these new babies being born and coming in, and some that'll come over. Now here's what's harder than newbies. Those that have been in Christ but have been trained the wrong way. Oh my God. Jesus, when I was in construction, I was a concrete finisher and I was a block layer, a block mason, and I could really lay a lot of blocks. I mean, I would see if I could be the fastest guy on the crew. That was my objective. And I could lay hundreds of them every day. And it took me, you know, it takes you a couple of years, 2 or 3 years, and my dad would train me, and my dad, he put two guys over me, and he said, train him. I want you to train him. It took me about 2 years to come from an apprenticeship to a full, you know, fledged block mason. And those guys would make, I mean, my God, they were mean to me. They made me almost want to fight. I would build things, and they would put their level on it, and basically they just knock it down. And I was like, man. And I was only like a buck 65, and they're full grown men, and they're, you know, 35, 40, and I'm thinking, if I could whip you, I would try. Because I hate you right now. But they were teaching me, and I'd have to do it over and over and over again. And finally they trained me to where that I could do anything that they could do, and then they could trust me. And they wouldn't look over my shoulder anymore. That was fine. What we always hated was somebody that come, we didn't hate them, but you couldn't use them. If they were trained the wrong way and they thought they knew something, they said, I've been a mason or a block, or, you know, or a concrete finisher for 10 years, and you look at them and you say, my God, you're lying, or you've been trained horribly the wrong way. So the hardest people, you would think that I would enjoy, and listen, please, if you ever hear this and you come here and you say, I want to associate with this, this is not against you. I believe that if you're on this walk, it can all go great. The hardest people are preachers. If preachers that have ever been preachers or pastors or evangelists, and they say, you know, I've just really, you have had a hard time or a burnout or whatever, can I just come and sit under your ministry? Yes, you can, but don't do anything and be quiet. Okay, just be quiet. And let me love you, and let the Word of God, and don't try to teach anybody, and don't try to teach anybody in the parking lot, because I will come and get you if you do. Just, you know, there's a mind of Christ here, and we've got to stay on the same page. And where was I going with this? But anyway, as what I know, okay, you just reminded me, we ought to have, as all these come in and are born again, the Word says in Mark chapter 4 that He cometh immediately. We ought to have an immediately class. As soon as we get them born again, you know, we'll Miss Gay, take them over the next door, start them on immediate class, immediate attacks, or whoever, teaching, okay, you've been born again, you've been Spirit-filled, and this is going to be a good ride, and it's going to be a seasonal ride. God has blessings, and you don't kill babies with fear, but at the same time, you begin to build a foundation in them right away, because I'll tell you, they've got a timeline. I've seen a whole lot of people get saved in here, and if we don't get the Word in them, it's like a ticker tape. It just keeps getting shorter and shorter. You only got a certain amount of time, because before long, Mark 4 is going to hit them. And I don't know how it's going to hit them. It's going to be lust of the flesh. It's going to be sickness. It's going to be, you know, reasonings of the mind, whatever. Mark 4 is coming. The Word is coming. You know, He's going to steal. So I'd love to have a big enough church where we had enough classrooms that we could stick them in immediately. You know, He's coming immediately. What? You're walking down the hall and they're saying, why did I have to leave the sanctuary? Oh, we're trying to help you, honey. Come on, you're going to come in here. We're going to train you because something's coming. And they're saying, ooh, is there something good coming? Oh, yeah, yeah. We don't want to tell you what it is right now, but something's coming. We got to put a foundation under you because something's going to come pretty soon. And we didn't want to tell you this part. We just want to tell you, get saved, get filled with the Holy Ghost. It's all going to be good. And so we're like, do I get a gift? Oh yeah, you're gonna be so happy. It's gonna be real good. So, but we need an immediate immediate coming class. It's immediately coming. Hallelujah. So, glory be to God. Glory be to God. I remember Chris used to say that. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Maybe we'll take up this more next week. I've seen, and you've seen, many casualties through the years that did not recognize the war, or maybe they recognized the war at one point, but it faded from them. The word casualty means this, or casualties means a serious or fatal accident, disaster losses from fire, storm, or other casualties. A, it can mean a military person lost through death, wounds, or injury, sickness, or capture, or through being missing in action. Now, casualties can become missing in action. The Army sustained heavy, and so this, they give an example of expression. The Army sustained heavy casualties. B, a person or thing injured, lost, or destroyed. How many have we seen lost? And I'm not saying lost necessarily that everybody that's left us has been lost to the world, but there's different levels or different categories of casualties. Some are still serving God. Some are really serving God. But here's the thing. For the most part, you've heard me say this before. It's not impossible that once you've come here and stayed here, that God might move you to another place. But if He moves you to the other place, if you were ever here in a plant and God called you here, you'll be speaking the same thing someplace else. You won't move because you were aggravated. You won't move speaking another message. You'll move because God says, I got a missionary journey for you to go on. You're spiritually mature. Hallelujah. So we've had casualties where even though people felt like God was moving them on, in my heart, that was not the case. And there was choices made. And for me, it was a casualty because I believe people that have gone should still be here. Now, does that mean they're not saved? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there's casualties to the war that we're in. The reasons, here's some reasons. The flesh, often, not for all these that may be mentioned or could qualify under what I just said, but the flesh reclaims its once previous ground. This is the thing that we understand, and I've said this before in this same teaching. The ground that was taken at the cross through an immediate freedom, and the ground that you take over the dominion of the flesh after that, just because you take ground doesn't mean that that ground cannot again be retaken by the flesh. It can be retaken. You can have a stronghold pull out of you, and then if you, like a king or queen, because you're all real kings, but I'm going to mention you beautiful ladies as queens that are / kings. If you take dominion over that and you just rule over it, you don't have to confess over it daily. That was something you were. You had jealousy. You had fits of anger. You were somewhere in the first year or two, you got over some things that were deep. So that was a stronghold pulled out of you through the power of the new nature and the Word of God. Hallelujah. So you don't have to confess daily over that same thing to keep it dead. You just keep going in Christ. And the perpetual death that's ruling and reigning over your body, that rules over everything that ever was. It can't come. But be it known unto you, and all of us understand that the lack of or going back and not exercising the full right of authority in the new nature, the ground that once was taken can be reclaimed. So we understand that. Okay? That gives us an awareness to continue to walk in a place of dominion. The basic, this is basic, a ground zero takeout. When I say ground zero, I minimize, and it's not minimal, it's very serious when the flesh takes somebody out. But next week we're going to talk about the high-tech takeouts, the things that, and when I'm talking about that, you say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the things that disguise themselves as God and eventually take people way into left field, okay? That's part of it. The flesh, like as in lust of the flesh and those kinds of things, even though that's the last one mentioned and it's very powerful in Mark 4, this is basic ground zero. It's a takeout. It does not require a lot of tech knowledge by Satan to pull this off. It just requires a consistent applying of the lure of the world by the constantly diverting them from the things that destroy the flesh. If you're constantly diverted from the things that take dominion over the flesh, there's going to be a fight. And that I'm going to name those real quick for us tonight. Lack of prayer, lack of the word, lack of church attendance. Now, many of you don't even attend a church, but this is your church, or you're attending Pastor Jim's church, or you're attending these churches together as you're hearing this word. And I'm not talking about lack of church attendance where some of you sometimes go through seasons where you're super busy. I understand that. And you're trying to catch as much as you can of what's going on. But I'm telling you, if you go through a long season for a long, long time of lack of church attendance, and there's really no, and you can make excuses for the flesh in every different way. But if there's no real, if your workload has not changed dramatically and you know you're just working through that for a time, if there's just that lack of attendance, it's not this. It's not brownie points. It's what you receive from being in this atmosphere and hearing this. Because I'll tell you this, if you divorce yourself, even if you don't do it like intentionally, but you allow that diversion to keep you away, not just physically, but maybe away from watching, even when you can't be here, you're going to get knocks on the door. You're going to come visit me? No, sir. But you're going to get knocks on the door from, it won't be Pizza Hut or it won't be Domino's. It will be delivery. And the delivery will be seducing spirits and spirits of alienization. You know, I don't feel like they love me anymore. Wait a minute. If you'd be here, we'd love on you. We'd hug you to pieces. People walk in, and we've all experienced this. Well, people will walk in. Have you ever been around old friends? You're close to them because you communicate with them. But then or family members, and then you don't see them for a while, and you don't communicate, and you're not around them. And then when you are with them, you're like, we just ain't got it anymore. It's just that umph is not there. That closeness is not there. So you just feel like, why even bother to call them anymore? Why even bother to be around them anymore? And you grow apart. The same thing systematically will happen. That's the same thing. There are people that attend this church that don't attend this church, and they really don't know what's going on here. They don't know. They don't, I mean, you have to hear the shepherd. I put myself in a position. He is the chief shepherd. But I am the shepherd of the sheep that God has placed, and I do that very humbly, to speak. You have to continually hear the voice of your shepherd. You have to continually hear that and say, okay, God, first you are my shepherd. I'm not, this man's not taking dominion over me like you listen to me and what I say, but he's doing his best to speak the mind of Christ. And the word says in Ephesians chapter 5 that we're all, now see, the Holy Spirit, the word will perfect you, but amazing enough, it says that we are perfected by these, the fivefold ministry. So there's something that God says you're perfecting. It also must come about, and I'm under this too. Look, I look to, I'm not the top of the ladder. I mean, the food chain doesn't stop with me. I listen to Jim Martin. I listen to Gary Carpenter. These guys are helping pastor me. I talk to them. I listen. I compare notes with them. Pastor Dave is also, but he's not as readily available nowadays as he was. Thank God I was just able. I had a question concerning my family, my mother, and some things. I was able to get on the phone just recently with Tim Stemple and say, because he's a father in my life, and say, what does this look like? What do you think? And man, it was just spot on. It was just the mind of Christ. And so I'm saying this, pastors in our life, and I'm not saying it comes to Bronk and it ends here. No, I'm looking up the chain here, and I'm saying these guys, and I hear these guys, and I don't ask them to say it. They say, I've heard Gary say this recently. I've heard Jim say this, that I'm helping pastor him. In other words, we need each other. We all need each other. And the mind of Christ that is flowing through me on a weekly basis, when the enemy comes, one of the things that he will do is he will try to cut off and severe or try to sever. And if you don't come to church or if you don't listen, I mean, then you're not hearing what's going on. And you may think you know what's going on, but there are so much that's coming from this pulpit in these days to give us the mind of Christ to grow. Amen. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, we've got a lot more to cover, and we'll go right into it next week. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything? I pray you did. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. And if you have anything tonight to bless the church with as you're leaving, please do that. I love you all. You're so wonderful. Please stand with me. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We thank you for the beginning of this service, how that you just came with such glory and power, and how that as we laid hands upon the sick or those that were walking through things, that we saw and heard testimony of an immediate power that came into their bodies. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for all of our family. That's family that's watching. We love them. Lord, we're asking that the same glory will continue to flow in their lives, that they will understand the fight, they'll understand the war, and that the preparedness makes them in a place where they're going to be strong. Lord, we bless this night. We bless all this body. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. If you have something, please bring it down. We love you. We appreciate it. In Jesus' name, amen.